feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. My guest today, Yul Eriksson-Ek, the first-line center of the Minnesota Wild, joins me for a good 20-minute interview. And unfortunately, I put out the tweet asking for questions from fans super late. Got some great ones in. But of course, since I finished the podcast, I looked at my Twitter account, and I had some really, really good ones that would have made for a really fun line of questioning for Yul. But his time was pretty tight today, so it is kind of a brief podcast, but I think you're really going to enjoy it from a guy that's taken an incredible development and growth in his career here the last several years. Just a fun sit down with Yul Eriksson-Ek, and he talks a lot about Sweden and his new line mates and why he comes into camp in impeccable shape and what pisses off opponents every time the Wild play. It's a really fun little sit down with Yul Eriksson-Ek, who's become one of my favorite guys to watch on the team and favorite guys to talk to. It's not only his game on the ice that has developed the last couple of years, it's his voice in the locker room. I don't know if you noticed last year how often we quoted Eriksson-Ek, because he always just is insightful the way that he speaks. And for a guy whose English is not his first language, I think that's pretty impressive, because let me just promise you, if I go to Sweden, I'm not going to be talking Swedish to anybody. So thanks again to Eriksson-Ek. Thanks, as always, for supporting The Athletic as well and listening to my podcast. And again, if you are not a The Athletic subscriber, now is the time to get in, with training camp right around the corner. Training camp that is just done. The season is around us, and I'm still in training camp mode. But again, theathletic.com/straightfromthesource will get you in for 50% off. And with all the training camp stories that I have that you can catch up on, and the upcoming season and the first couple of victories by the Wild, I really highly recommend getting in now. So again, this offer is not going on forever. In fact, it's going to end here in the next week or so. So theathletic.com/straightfromthesource will get you in for the year for 50% off. Really highly, highly recommend it. And again, a good couple wins by the Wild. We just got back from California. I got back way earlier than the Wild did yesterday. They spent the night in California like I did, but I had an 8:30 a.m. flight. Their plane was scheduled for 10, and they apparently were on the ground at LAX for 4 or 5 hours because of a circuit board issue on their charter flight home. So they were finally able to get a new plane in there. I think they actually borrowed the Los Angeles Kings plane and flew home on that. At practice today, Dean expected sort of heavy legs, and he got it. Not a lot of energy on the ice, and it was a fast-paced practice, but Dean was all over him, making him skate and trying to get out some of those dead legs that they had from a long travel day yesterday, where they essentially left LA at the time that they were supposed to land in Minnesota. So last night they didn't land until about 6 or 7 p.m. So no excuses, though. Home opener against the Winnipeg Jets on Tuesday night in front of a hopefully packed out at XL Energy Center. There are tickets still available, which is, that seems to be a trend right now throughout the National Hockey League. A lot of teams are not selling out games, probably a pandemic aftermath. It's not even an aftermath. We're still in the freaking pandemic. As we learned today, where Blake Wheeler entered protocol and might not be able to play on Tuesday night for the Winnipeg Jets. We've seen it with Nathan MacKinnon and Jack Johnson in Colorado. We're seeing it throughout the National Hockey League that even vaccinated players are still being put into the NHL's COVID protocol list. So this pandemic is still with us. And maybe that's one reason why these buildings aren't sold out right now. Again, hope to see everybody there. It's going to be just fun to see a packed XL Energy Center after only 3,000 fans being allowed to come to the games last year. If you remember, if the Wild advanced, Craig Leopold was actually investing about $250,000 renting this filtration system that the NHL required to get the fans into the arena. And I don't think they were going to be able to sell out, but if I remember, it was going to be 10 or 12,000 they were going to be allowed to have in the building because of this system. But then the Wild obviously lost in Game 7 and never got to play the Colorado Avalanche in the second round. So first couple victories out of the way. Wild dramatic, really exciting victory opening night in Anaheim. Marcus Foligno scores the goal with 7.2 seconds left. He was highly, highly rested. Number 17 spent 17 minutes in the penalty box in the end of the first period and in the second period for essentially him and Max Jones trying to fight each other with the linesman breaking them up. So they both got dinged for 10-minute misconducts in addition to their 5-minute majors. And actually, Marcus Foligno got 2 minutes extra for a call that I still think is bogus. He got called for interference. And if you look at the replay, he actually did it. He threw Max Jones into the net, the moorings. But that call was never going to be made until Max Jones cross-checked him back and then they dropped the gloves. So really, at a minimum, because they never were going to call the 2 minutes, to me, it should have either just been a fighting major and 10-minute misconduct, or if you're going to retroactively give 2 minutes for interference to Marcus Foligno, I think that the other guy, Max Jones, should have gotten 2 minutes for cross-checking, and it wound up biting the Wild because they had to rally back from a 1-0 deficit in the game after the Ducks scored 17 seconds, I believe it, into the second period on a power play. So might have even been sooner than that. I can't remember. But good overall win for the Wild. What I was really impressed with that game is, first of all, Cam Talbot, who had not played in more than a week because he had a scary family matter at home, wasn't able to go to Chicago. He never thought that he was going to only play 90 minutes in the exhibition season. He doesn't start a game for more than a week because he missed the game in Chicago, and he goes into that game ice cold, and he winds up only giving up a goal in the game, and then 24 hours later, he goes and plays really, really well against the LA Kings as well. So good start to the season for Cam Talbot, 2-0 with a .950 save percentage. Kaprizov, Zuccarello, and Eriksson Ek, still a work in progress, as Eriksson Ek says. Dean does not sound like he's been very, very happy with the way that Kaprizov and Zuccarello have played the first two games. He's made some snide comments about how they think it's a two-man game. We'll see if that continues as they get more used to Eriksson Ek in the middle there. But that is something that Kaprizov and Zuccarello do often. I mean, we saw last game in L.A., Kaprizov actually almost fed Zuccarello for a breakaway. And instead of going in for the breakaway, Zuccarello pulled up at the blue line and turned it into a 2-on-1 to pass back to Kaprizov instead of going ahead of the play. And Kaprizov had a great scoring chance that Zuccarello set him up with, but Kaprizov missed the net. LA, the big goal of the game, the Victor Rask goal, set up by Kaprizov. The big goal that tied the game in Anaheim, set up by Zuccarello. So these guys will get their points, and it'll just be a matter of time before they start playing well with Eriksson Ek. But what's been, and I always caution, you know how in preseason you sometimes make too much of everything you're seeing on the ice. Like the game in Chicago, it looked like the Wild's blue line was going to be absolutely god-awful, right? But they just, at that point when they fell down 2-0, it's like every veteran in any exhibition game in the last game, they just tried to get out healthy. They almost mailed it in that game. Well, what I really like, the two things that I saw on this road trip is, one, the defensive structure of the Wild is still really good, despite the fact that they got three new blue liners in John Merrill, Dmitry Kulikov, and Alex Goligoski. Like, Goligoski was so good the first two games. Just so good. Dmitry Kulikov, so good. John Merrill, got off to a really slow start in Anaheim, but played so well the rest of that game and the game in LA that Dean doesn't feel like he could put Jordy Benn in yet to debut. Now, maybe one loss will change that. One snafu will change that. But right now, Jordy Benn and Rem Pitlick will stay out of the lineup. So their defensive structure so far looks really good. But the other thing, and again, this is where I caution that you take two victories and you turn it into like this is a trend that's going to last 80 more games. But the depth scoring of this team, you don't need to rely every night on Fiala and Kaprizov and Eriksson Ek to score your big goals. The Wild got goals opening night. Yes, Kevin Fiala on the power play, but from Marcus Foligno. The next night they go and they get goals from Ryan Hartman, Freddie Goudreau, and Victor Rask. If that continues, and then you see the way the fourth line is playing, getting outchancing the opponents dramatically the first two games with Brandon Duhaime and Nico Sturm and Nick Bjugstad. And then if you expect that eventually guys like Greenway are going to score, and if Goudreau keeps it up, and because he was just so good the first two games, and then you know that Kaprizov and Zuccarello are going to score, now all of a sudden you have something here where you don't have to rely on the stars every single night. So I think that is a good sign. Again, two games, one game that they won in the last second. So maybe if they lose that game, we're talking very differently today. We're like, oh, they only scored one goal. Maybe that's very different. But if you look at their 5-on-5 defensive structure, the Wild, the first two games were really, really good. They defended with layers. It was, and we had a really good, the sight lines in the Anaheim press box is amongst the best in the league. And they actually moved us in LA, where you're still a mile back because it's the Staples Center. But I actually, what happened was is that we got to see really closely the Wild, their shoot twice area, but the way that they defended too in the second period. And they just, it's not just the defensemen too, in the layers, the way they defend, it's just really, really good the way that their forwards have been back checking. We've seen Zuccarello, we've seen Duhaime, we've seen a lot of these guys make great, great defensive plays on back check. There's somebody else the other night that I'm forgetting, it might have even been Fiala. Speaking of Fiala, Dean, you know, who I've brought up before, he almost unsolicited will go after him at times. It's like his son or something. Like he's the only guy on the team that Dean will actually go at and criticize. Dean pointed out and volunteered to us today that they were not happy with his game in Anaheim. And I pointed out a lot on Twitter is that he had a lot of turnovers, a lot of D-zone turnovers. On the PK, he was almost, just shotgunning himself out of the zone before the Wild had the puck, and a couple times really created issues. And what the Wild loved and what Dean loved is that he talked to Fiala about all this, and he completely adjusted his game in LA, where he was much more defensively responsible and took care of the puck much, much better. And look, the Wild want to score goals, but you got to defend. And if you defend, and that was a lot of the video lesson that the coaches showed today, they showed areas where the Wild kept their structure, but still created offense out of it. And what he loves about Kevin Fiala is that he's learning. It's a maturation in his game. A great example is in the final minute of the third period in LA, Sturm, Bukestad, and Fiala got caught out there with an icing. So he had to come back with a D-zone draw with the Wild clinging to a goal lead there in the final minute. And what happens? The Wild win the draw, and Kevin Fiala gets the puck along the wall. And instead of one going for a 150-foot goal and risking icing the puck again, he just chipped the puck out and went for a change. And Dean raved about that today because, one, he loved the change, but he also, in a lot of ways, subtweeted Zach Parise from last year, where he talked about how he loved all three players, all five, if you include the defensemen, coming for a change there and understanding and trusting their teammate that they can go for a change, not get caught out there just because they're flirting for an empty net goal, and trust their teammate that they're going to go out and either defend the game to the victory or go out and get that empty net goal. So he really complimented Kevin Fiala's maturity there by also talking about the other guys as well today. So that was really interesting from the game the other night. Finally, Winnipeg Jets come to town on Tuesday night. Home opener, 7 p.m., XL Energy Center, first of a three-game homestand. Weird schedule this week. The Wild don't play Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. In fact, they'll take full off days on Wednesday and Thursday. I have a couple stories in the works that I think that you'll like, though. And then they play Saturday night, Sunday night, back-to-back games against, I believe, Anaheim and Nashville. I go one game at a time, but I think that's who the Wild have coming up. Yes, Anaheim and Nashville, and then the Wild head out to Vancouver, Seattle, and Denver. In fact, I just booked all my COVID testing on Friday and Sunday because you need COVID tests to get into Canada, COVID tests to get back, all 72 hours. So book all those to get out on the road. But it's just going to be really, really, really cool to see different teams than the seven the Wild played last year. You know, it's so bizarre to me that the Wild are playing the Winnipeg Jets to open their season, one of their most bitter rivals, and the Wild haven't seen them in person in 654 days. There are 10 players from that game that are still on the lineup. In fact, the overtime winner in that last game, January 4th, 2020, Eric Staal from Zach Parise and Ryan Suter on a 4-on-3 power play. So 10 guys still from that team, and finally the Wild get to see a division rival, and that to me is refreshing, going and seeing, you know, again, they got Anaheim in their sixth homestand, but they'll see Winnipeg, they'll see Nashville, then they go to Vancouver, who they did play, obviously, in the playoffs in the bubble, but again, not a regular season game in a long, long time. And then we go to Seattle for the first time and get to see that awesome market and that awesome arena. Get to see Marcus Johansson again. All Wild fans look forward to that, I'm sure. And then go to Denver and wrap up the road trip there. So a lot coming up here, a lot of really neat stories in the book, in the works for The Athletic. So I hope everybody reads that. And again, if you're not a subscriber to theathletic.com/straight from the source. But before we get to Yule Eriksson Ek, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, as I mentioned, thanks to Yule Eriksson Ek for joining straight from the source here. Yule set career highs in points, goals, plus minus, and time on ice per game last year. Ranked sixth in the NHL in third period goals, seventh in even strength goals, and finished fourth in the Selke Trophy voting as I campaigned hard for you. Just to get you now into that conversation with the Ryan O'Reillys and the Patrice Bergerons and the Sasha Barkovs of the world. And you, let's talk about that. I mean, you know, you've ascended now to being in that conversation with some of those great, great players in the NHL. And that's got to be just a great feeling that you're starting to get, you know, looked at as with that type of respect.
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me, and being mentioned to with those guys is an honor. I think growing up, you watch some of those players, you're trying to see what they are doing to be successful, and just trying to bring a little bit of that to your own game, and trying to bring a little bit of your own too, and you know what you can do, and maybe see what they do, and maybe match it together a little bit.
And by the way, Yule was just joking before we get on that Jonas Brodin is next. So a lot of pressure now that Brodin's got to be the next podcast guest here. Do you think he'll do it?
Yeah, I hope so. I think he would. I think he could surprise a few people if he was coming on here.
Yeah, he's not as quiet and as, like, he's a funny guy I always hear. Like, he's getting his voice in the locker room, and he's not as quiet as people think, right?
No, if you get to know him, he's a real funny guy. I think everybody knows when I first got here, he took me under his wings, and being from the same hometown too, mm-hmm. I think we spend almost 365 days together every year, and just working out in the summers, and then being here, seeing each other every day too. But no, he's a great person, and I think if you see him every day, you really appreciate how good of a hockey player he is too.
Yeah. So you guys live, I know, right down the road from each other, basically. So what are some of the stuff that you do during the off seasons? Because I always see, you know, I follow you both on Instagram, and I always see it does feel like you're always together on some sort of water or fishing or something.
Yeah, I think we like spending time outdoors. Mm-hmm. Play a sport called paddle. It's pretty big in Spain, and getting pretty big in Europe too. And he usually comes out on the winning side, but then trying to beat him there. And just we spend a lot of time working out together. We work out together every day. Being really close friends.
Yeah. Tell me about your hometown. Like, is it a small Swedish town? Like, what? Like, bring us to your hometown.
It's right in between Oslo in Norway and Stockholm in Sweden. So, if you go and look at a map, it's right above that big lake in Sweden, and we got a river running through the city as well, almost like here. Mm-hmm. Great outdoor city, I would say. It's faster to bike than taking a car, and just it's like 80 to 100,000 people living there, so it's a pretty good size. But you know, home is always home. That's mm-hmm. That's where all your family, all your friends from when you were a kid lives, and it's always nice to come back there and spend some time in the summer.
And again, this Karlstad, right? Yep. Tell me about your folks. That's where you get your last name, Eriksson Ek. A lot of people always wonder. I mean, that's the way it works, right? Is that one's your mom's last name, one's your dad's? That's how it works?
Yeah, so they married, but no one changed their last mm-hmm. name. So I got both. And so my mom is Ek, and my dad is Eriksson. And I mean, they meant everything for me growing up with my younger brother.
Who's a goalie, right?
Yeah, he's a goalie for in the Anaheim organization. So, yeah, we spent a lot of time playing hockey, and they probably saw a lot of fighting, and just him being 2 years younger, you always want to win, and it was a lot of battles back home.
And your dad Klaus, he was a hockey player too.
Yeah, he was. He was playing professional in Sweden for mm-hmm. 12 years. But he had to retire early because of a injury, and then he became coaching and doing a lot of different stuff around hockey. And my mom has always been there at home supporting mm-hmm. us and keeping it all together.
Yeah. How, I don't know if you even recognized when you first got here, just the pressure that was on you because, in a lot of Wild fans' minds, they took you over Brock Besser, right? You know, being the local guy here. Did you at all sense that? And how much pride is there that conversation is long gone, that Wild fans are super happy that Joel Eriksson Ek is the one that's on their roster right now?
No, I don't try to listen too much. I get it. It's probably a hard situation, and just trying to believe in myself and trying to like know how to live and play over here. It's mm-hmm. It's for sure different the first few games. I came from still living with my parents back home in Sweden. Still living in my hometown in my where I lived my whole life, and just coming here, you have to learn not just on the ice. I think away from the ice to get a social life, and just trying to see how you have to prepare for every game, and just watching like guys like the older guys here, than by like example Mikko, mm-hmm. just learning a lot from him, and just that was really big for me. I think it's 30 something more games here, and just seeing how they prepare and how they work before every game was really important for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of Americans don't understand that. Like, imagine just a 21-year-old kid that speaks no Swedish just parachuting into Sweden, and all of a sudden you're like, not only learn how to live here, but also play at a high level in a professional league. That's not easy. And we sometimes take that for granted here. And there is, as you're saying, there's that development process. It takes a while before you can be comfortable enough in your own skin on and off the ice to then be the type of player that you've become here.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's different cases too. Maybe it goes faster for some people, and some other guys maybe need a little bit more extra time and to learn and really feel that they know how to approach every day, and they know how to live, and they know how to play. And I'm still 24, and I think I still learn a lot every day.
By the way, I wish I had my camera on me right now, because I'd take a picture that you're actually doing your podcast in your shorts and your skates. Do you always just wear your skates 30, 40 minutes after practice?
No, this is it's pretty weird, man. But no, it's new skates. I felt I had needed some new skates for tomorrow, so figure I used smash two flies in one.
Did you was that what was going on in Anaheim, or did you have an injury? Like, I noticed a couple times he had to leave the bench there in that game. You don't want to say?
No, it's all good. Okay. It's skate dishes, yeah.
All right, it was equipment, yeah, sure. But first of all, just, a heck of a road trip, obviously. 2-0, that you can't ask for anything more. You're getting depth scoring up and down the lineup. Guys like Rask and Hartman and Foligno and Goudreau score the goals. Obviously, Fiala as well. But that's got to be, and you get real great defensive structure from a new blue line as well. So that's got to be a good feeling coming back here at home, where you know that you're going to get up and down depth scoring rather than always have to rely on essentially you and Eriksson Ek and Fiala to score the goals every night.
Yeah, I think it's great. It makes our team really deep. I think every line can score on this team. I think everybody's, like you said, we're a good team defensively, and everybody skates really well. We're a fast team. I think trying to put a lot of pressure on the other team, and just trying to create from that. And like you said, and we had, Krill and Kevin, those guys are for sure, they are super skilled. They can make plays by themselves, and to get scoring from more people is going to make this team a lot better.
You're getting awarded for last year. You had 19 goals in 50-some-odd games, a 30-goal pace in an 82-game season, and you come into this without Greenway and Foligno on your lines. You're getting that incredible luxury of playing with Kaprizov and Zuccarello. How do you feel that it's gone the first two games?
Yeah, I think it's first few games, I think, is always
Like a work in progress?
It's always a work in progress. Yeah, I think everybody wants a lot. It goes back and forth a lot. It's not that you see very often, I think, at least in the first few games, extended offensive zone time and stuff like that. And just trying to talk a lot to each other, to see, to learn a lot. And I trying to listen to them and see how they think. And they trying to figure me out probably, and just trying to... to talk, I think that's the biggest thing, and then just trying not to think too much and just play. I mean, if it works, it works, and I think if we work hard together, it will.
You know, you're known for your being impeccable shape. You know, we've seen the Mr. September shirts, and last year, obviously, you turned into a heck of a player on the ice as well. What are some of the things that you do in the offseason to come into camp in such great shape that you always blow away these fitness tests?
Yeah, you know, I take pride in being in good shape. I think that's a responsibility. I think for showing your teammates you're ready to make what it takes to win. You're gonna need to. It's not only to be super strong or being super fast, and it's staying healthy. If you have a healthy team, I think. Mostly, if you can stay healthy in a playoff, this is going to help your team to be successful.
Right. And last year you played hurt, right? I mean, that's pretty fair in the playoffs. You were dealing with a knee injury.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a MCL injury, and was hurting for a few weeks after the season, but it's good.
Yeah, this has become another thing that we know about you, and a lot of people ask, the way that this person phrased it, I just thought was hilarious. Why does everyone play against you seem so mad? I love the way that fan asked that question, but it is so true. Some people just don't like playing against you, Joel.
I don't know. I mean,
such a likable guy.
I don't think. I'm the right guy to answer the question. I think you have to ask some of the guys that is mad. But no, I said before, just trying to play fair, but playing hard and go to those hard areas and being close to guys. I think if you play a lot of games in a short amount of time, you maybe get sick of a guy being next to you for a whole game almost.
Yeah, it is kind of funny though. Sometimes you look at you on the ice during these scrums, and it does feel like you don't know what the heck even triggered them. You know, you just have that kind of look about you, which might also make them even madder. Because you don't even seem to know why they're angry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to do my best to not take any stupid penalty and
right.
Put my team in a bad position.
Somebody asked a great question. What is the best chirp that you've heard in a post-whistle scrum? Has anybody said anything to you that either made you laugh or just anything funny?
No, I can't really.
Usually it's a lot of F-bombs flying, probably.
I like the one Hart had last game.
Yeah, what did Hart? What was
no,
that?
No, he wasn't saying anything. Just how he tripped Dowdy there.
Oh yeah, yeah, he chirped Dowdy.
And how he just tripped him without. Yeah, that's like what that looked like. I didn't know what I did, but I think and then goes and scores. So that's great.
That is the way to shove it up the player's butt. So, yeah, no doubt about it. A couple of really fun questions before we wrap up, Yule, from just a lot of people. One is, what city are you looking forward to playing the most here? Being in again that you didn't get last year when you only went to seven teams all year.
I think Seattle is going to be a real cool
team. Yeah.
I heard great things. I talked to Marcus a little bit, Jojo, who was here last year.
Marcus Johansson.
And he really seems to like it too. And what I've heard is the Vancouver of like the USA almost. And I think Vancouver is a beautiful city. So yeah, it's going to be real fun to see that new rink and a new city.
And we'll be there twice in a month coming up here. What Swedish thing do you miss the most when you come to the United States during the season? And somebody says, why is it the béarnaise sauce?
Yeah, that's a chili béarnaise. It's really good. But I'm a big salt licorice guy.
Salt licorice? Yeah. Okay. So like saltwater taffy type thing, but licorice or no?
It's like licorice, but with salt on it.
Okay.
And yeah, like when you sweat a lot, I think it's it tastes pretty good after, but it's hard to find here.
Favorite players growing up?
Peter Forsberg.
Yeah.
I mean, and watching my dad play and the team is Jørgen Johnsson.
Okay.
He was playing for Islanders maybe, I don't know how long, but he went back to Sweden because he wanted to be with his family.
Okay.
So he was a little bit too good to play in Sweden.
Okay.
But he still played there and they won a lot.
Okay.
He was, the mentality he had was, it was really interesting to see.
Okay, Jørgen Johnsson. Yeah. Interesting. Favorite restaurant in the Twin Cities?
Billy's Sushi.
Billy's Sushi. Everybody's saying that. I got to get to that place. Yeah. When I lived downtown for 12 years. It wasn't there yet.
Yeah, it's so, pretty new. It's the same as a Sushi Fix in Sara.
Yep.
Same
is
owner.
Tell me that the entire menu is made up of like is can you buy the can you get the Erickson Ek roll?
No,
like,
yeah,
have they
no,
done that yet or no? Okay, because there was a there might still be there's a sushi restaurant down here in St. Paul that used to name all their entire menu after all Wild players.
Yeah, I remember that. I actually went there a few times when I lived my first year at the hotel here,
right
in St. Paul. So I went there. Yeah, I remember that place.
Favorite hobby or activity to do in the postseason?
That's the paddle.
The paddle, the paddle game. I'll have to Google that. Yeah, figure YouTube, it out. Most difficult player to play against.
We play Avalanche a lot.
So, yeah.
So I'm gonna have to go with either like Makar or. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Makar.
Yeah, he's up and comer. There's no doubt about it. How long? You know, somebody did ask, how long do you think it will take to get used to new linemates? I mean, you know, you and Foligno and Greenway knew each other probably every single place they'd be on. You guys would be on the ice, but now you're playing with two very different players. That also, as Dean Evason likes to say, sometimes likes to forget about that there's a third person on their line. You know, sometimes they like to just play a two man game.
Yeah. I hope it's going to be quick. I think how smart they are. I don't think they're going to take too long. I'm just trying to, I've said before, just trying to create space and get to open scoring positions so they maybe can find me.
A couple more with Yule and let him get on with his day. They got the big home opener tomorrow. Olympics this year, I'll be there in China with you, hopefully. But how much would that be an honor if you get to put on those colors for Sweden that has had such a long history of incredible and international hockey?
Yeah, of course, that will be a real fun experience. I think playing for your country in Olympics is everybody's hockey player's dreams, I think. It's Sweden got so many good players too, so yeah, I would be real happy if it was so.
Last two for you here. One, how incredible will it be? This is a question from Dylan, to play in front of more than 3,000 fans tomorrow at XL Energy Center.
Oh, you know, it's gonna be great. We missed playing in front of our fans. It's real different when you get a lot of fans in that building. It can get loud and. They for sure help us when they share us on. And I'm really excited and can't wait for tomorrow.
And just last question, same sort of similar question. You're going to finally play a team that's not one of those seven that you played last year or the two that you played this year. And we know the rivalry that you guys had with the Winnipeg Jets. Will that be refreshing to finally see a different team than the seven that you played last year?
Yeah, for sure. It's last year you knew what you were going up against. I think it almost feels like we haven't played these guys for so long, and it's you're just trying to watch a lot of hockey and see what those teams are doing. But it's last year was hard to keep up with all your own games to see what the other teams were doing. But it's gonna for sure be fun to see more teams this year.
Yeah, we looked it up today. 654 days since the last time you guys played the Jets. There are 10 players from that game, January 4th, 2020, that was the Eric Staal overtime winner, that are still on this lineup. It's pretty nuts to show the turnover that you guys have had since.
Yeah, that's a lot of days. It's crazy, actually.
I really appreciate it. I wrote it the other day. I mean, one of the coolest experiences really the last couple of years of covering this team has been just seeing your maturation of a player. I mean, you've really shown how important and impactful you've been on this team. You signed the 8-year deal, which is crazy. You might be the first player that outlasts me covering. I've always said I've outlasted every coach, GM, and player I've ever covered, but you might be the first one to actually be here longer than I am. So hey, it really honor always to cover. You're such a great guy to deal with too, and so we really appreciate you coming on Straight from the Source.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Of course.
Yep, and that is Yule Eriksson Ek, and we'll be right back with the rest of the podcast. Thanks again to Yule Eriksson Ek for joining Straight from the Source this week. Just means a ton. I'm always thoroughly impressed when players like Eriksson Ek and Kevin Fiala and some of the other European players that have been on this podcast join. It's not their first language, and yet they put the microphone in front of their face and do something that's uncomfortable, which is really, really cool. Just imagine if we swooped into Switzerland or Sweden and had to do a podcast in their native tongue. Well, at least for me, it'd be impossible. So it just means a ton that Eriksson Ek, especially on short notice, did today's podcast. So thanks again to Joel. Jack Hughes of the New Jersey Devils joins Craig Costance and Sean Gentile this week on the Athletic Hockey Show. Rob Pizzo from CBC Sports joins Jesse Granger and Sarah Sivian on the Athletic Hockey Show Wednesday this week at the Athletic. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. Subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, annual subscriptions to The Athletic are 50% off when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Talk to you next week, everybody.